Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I'm going to ask you very quickly to take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're just going to read a few verses. And just as you turn now, I just want to make mention that Pastor Paul is away today. He's ministering in Oxford. Amen. Has been invited there by a church, and so we want to keep him in prayer. I just want to thank God for my salvation this morning. I want to thank God that he has never let me down. Although there's times that I've wondered, there's times that I've questioned, but I stand here today knowing that he has never let me down. Not at one step of my journey. And so we're continuing with our transformation series, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 6 to 9. I'm going to let you know the theme in a few moments. But the verse says this, the Apostle Paul is writing for the church in Corinth. He says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Amen. As you take your seats, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, "I'm not finished. I'm not finished." You know, if you hang around church long enough, if you're around enough messages, if you hang around Christians enough, you will hear that there's many different things that are important to leading a life of purpose, of fulfillment, of fruitfulness. That there's not just one thing that you can put your hand on and say that it's this and this alone. There's not what you would say 7 steps to living a happy life or 10 steps to doing this or that. Even though there may be some truth in those steps, many times certain seasons and times in our life demand certain actions. And if you're around church long enough or hear enough messages, you'll hear certain things like vision is important. But we have to be a people of vision. That we have to have our eyes fixed not only on God, but on where he's taking us. You'll hear things like we need to be a people that give, a people that love each other, people of faith. There's so many different things. And in this transformation series, I don't know about you, but it's been impacting my life. I have to go a long way back to remember a series that's had a bigger impact on me than this one has. And even just a couple of weeks ago, the one that probably impacted me the most is Pastor Paul talked about transforming your with. How many people remember that message about moving from performance to partnership? About not thinking that we're here to put on a show for God, but knowing that God has chosen us, separated us and called us because he wants to work in and through our lives. It's not X Factor. It's not Strictly Come Dancing. It's not any of that, but we're partnering with God to see his church and his kingdom established on earth. St. Augustine said this, one of the early church fathers, he said, "Without God, you can't. But without you, God won't." I want to say that again. Without God, you can't. But without you, God won't. It's a partnership with God. But the area that I want us to look at today is something that you and I have full authority over. It's something that affects you and I every day, but it's something that I'm blessed to be able to say that no one else has the authority over, but you and I have a final choice in this area today. That in everything that takes place in our life, when we master this area of our lives, not only do we move forward into the calling and the purpose God has for us, but we have joy and peace on the way too. I want to talk today about transforming your response. I want to talk about transforming your reaction. I'm going to put the slide up, if you will. Transforming your responses. You see, how many know seasons and things come through our life every day? But I declare to you today, and the purpose of this message is that we walk away today knowing that it's not the seasons that come your way that have the final say, but it's your reaction and your response to that season. It's your response and reaction to that relationship. It's your response to that circumstance. Your season and temporary moment don't have to have the final say, but your response will. Your season doesn't determine the outcome. Your response to the season determines the outcome. We need to be a people that have godly responses. Even when the chips are down and the circumstances are hard, you have full authority over your attitude, over your perspective, and how you respond to what's taking place in your life. There is power and transformation in how we respond to our situations. You see, responses are not easy, though. Reactions are not easy. Even Ecclesiastes chapter 3 speaks about how there is a season for everything. There is a season to sow and there is a season to reap. There's a season to cry and there's a season to rejoice. There are things that come in and through our life daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly that demand a response. And it's that response that determines the person that you and I become. You see, seasons come and seasons go. Jobs come and jobs go. People can come, and how many know people can go? Opinions come, and how many of us definitely know opinions will go? But what God says about a situation is what we need to fix our mind on. You see, but having the right reaction is not easy. If you're anything like me, having the right reaction and response is definitely not easy. I think about my marriage and how I'm the emotional one. I'm the impulsive one. How many people in here would say you're the one that speaks and then thinks after? Give me a wave. That you speak and then you think, right? My wife is the type of person that I'll say something to her and she will think about it. And then she'll continue to think about it. And then she'll think about it. And then maybe at some point she'll say something about it. And for someone like me, that's frustrating because I want an answer now. I want a breakthrough now. I want God to deliver things now. I'm a microwave kind of guy, but I want it now. Miranda's a marinated person. She likes to think on it and meditate on it, and then she'll come. See, I'm a speak and then think kind of guy sometimes. That's just some personalities. I've had to learn to discipline that area of my life. It's one of those that I heard it said, it's like the type of person is if you put a target up there and gave me a gun, I would fire and then aim, right? That's how it works sometimes. You take the gun, fire, aim, make sure it went the right way. Then Miranda's like, aim, aim, aim. And I'm like, fire it, aim. But how many know we need both working together? You see, but responses and reactions are hard. But Apostle Paul says we have this treasure, this knowledge of God, this truth, this power in jars of clay, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, this scripture I've heard preached many times, and people can speak about it in the form of character, that it's the things we go through that shape our character. I've heard about it in terms of long-suffering and patience, that we need to be people that stand through the seasons and come out the other side stronger. And all of these are true, but I want to make mention today that what I see here is that the Apostle Paul had a certain reaction to what he was going through. That even though he was crushed, he wasn't finished. That in every season he went through, his response was to look to what God was doing and to the person that God was making him to be. He paints two pictures, or so to say, one picture with two things. He paints a picture of this greatness and majesty of God. How many of us can stand here today and know that God is good, that God is great, that he's able to bring us through any situation? And he paints this picture of the glory and the greatness of God, but he merges it with the fragility and the weakness of humanity many times. He paints this picture that God's glory and God's strength and God's grace is poured out into something that many times can be missed, many times can be looked at as not something significant. He says that this glory and power of God has been poured out into a jar of clay. That vessel that is you and I, we are like that jar of clay. That although God is great, how many know sometimes when we look at our own lives and our own temperaments and our own situations, it can seem like God has chosen the wrong thing. It can seem like God has chosen the wrong person. But as you and I stand here today, I want to declare that it's not the vessel itself that gives value, but it's what has been put in that vessel that has value. So as soon as God has poured out his spirit and his strength and his wisdom in our lives, all of a sudden, the value of that vessel is transformed. You see, the jar of clay may be something that is insignificant at first, It may not have a great value at first, but as soon as God puts his hand on your life, as soon as God called out your name and brought you forward, then that value changed. And all of a sudden, you were someone that has power and authority and value. You see, the jar may be old, but yet it still has value. The jar may have a certain shape, but it still has value. The jar is not valued by what it was used for before, by what it's doing now. You see, this scripture tells us that God has chosen you so that he can reveal his glory. And that tells me, like the scripture says, that he's revealed himself and poured himself out in our lives so that it's not us that get the glory, but God, which means that God is going to take you through some seasons that are going to take more than your own strength to get through, because he is going to get the glory. God is going to bring you into some relationships that are going to take some serious grace to remain in. But yet, I tell you this morning, it's because God is going to get the glory. There's going to be some achievements in your life that you're going to look back and say, this was not myself. Why? Because God is going to get the glory. But if you want God to get the glory, it means you've got to stand through some times where your own strength reaches an end. Zechariah 4:6 says this. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord, says Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. How many people need the Spirit of God to do something in your life right now? There's an area that you say, God, I need your Spirit to perfect this area. But you know what? With every scripture, there comes a responsibility. You see, we can say it's not by might or power, but by his Spirit. But if we want God's Spirit to do something, it's okay. The sound's going on. God's speaking, it's okay. You see, if we want it to be by God's Spirit and not by might and power, our responsibility is to make spiritual choices. We can't say it's not by might and power, but by his Spirit, if we're not making spiritual decisions. To see God's Spirit move in our lives, we have to be a people that have a spiritual mindset, a spiritual choice, a spiritual attitude. Because the scripture says, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap to the flesh. We can't sow to the flesh and expect a spiritual breakthrough. We can't respond to a situation in the natural and expect a supernatural movement. We have to respond in the way that God has chosen us to respond. And you and I have full authority over our responses this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to 46, Jesus says this. Probably not one of our favorite scriptures. I know it's probably not one of mine, but favoritism doesn't come into it when it comes to scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to 46, Jesus says this, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Jesus says that we're to love those who persecute us. You see, this scripture tells us that good things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. The scripture tells us that bad things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. And many times that can be hard to accept, because each and every one of us have our list of why we're a good person, of why we deserve to be blessed, of why we didn't deserve to go through certain things. But the truth is that good things and bad things happen to all people. So what that teaches us is that it's not the seasons you go through that separate you as a Christian, it's your response to those seasons that separate us. It's our response to sickness that separates us. It's our response to depression that separates us. When we go through those things, it's not the season that makes you different, it's how we go through the season that makes us different. Your response separates you. Your response anoints you. Your response gives you the strength you need. You see, the reality is that you can do all the right things and still not get the result you want. Can I be real this morning? You can tick the boxes and still not get the thing that you think you deserve. But yet, and let me say this, I'm not saying that God won't be faithful. I'm not saying God won't turn it around, but there will be seasons where you have done everything right and yet everything seems to go wrong. How many people can testify to that today? That though you look back and you might say, you know what? I seem to have done everything. I'm a good person. I pay my taxes. I pay my tithes. I love people. I help this. I don't dislike anyone. But yet still your life can seem like it's not going in the direction you want it to go in. What do we do when life comes at us like that? What do we do? What's our response when we seem to be persecuted, though we've done nothing wrong? What's our response when we've faithfully prayed and fasted and done all of these things, and yet still it seems too hard? You see, if you only ever have good in your life, you won't have the character of Christ. But if you only see bad, then you don't have the mind of Christ. You see, in our lives, there is good and there's bad. There's hard and there's easy, but I tell you this morning that it is your response that is going to dictate the outcome. It's your response that is going to dictate what takes place in your life. We're not exempt from those seasons. Sickness can hit us all. Fear can hit us all. Success can come to us all. Promotion can come. Prosperity can come. Prejudice can come. We are not exempt from the difficulties of life. If you want a faith that makes a difference in the world, you're going to go through some of the things that the world go through too. Even today, there's days in these recent months that my body has just let me down. I'm like, dude. And you're looking at me like, well, that's no shock. But you know what? It's been difficult. I stand here today, I've got 3 hernias in my body. And I'm like, sometimes I feel like I can't even stand up. But yet my response is not as a victim. My response is that God is faithful, that God is good. And there's days that I've just wanted to say to the Lord, just take me. I can't take this anymore. Over 19 years, there's days that I've woke up and I've not skipped to church. But I've said, you know what, I don't want to go to church today. But yet my response is that God is faithful. And my response is that I will love and serve and give based on what God has done in me, not what I'm waiting for people to do for me. You love based on how God has loved you, not on how people have treated you. Our response has to be spiritual. Can I take it a step further? You see, people's actions may hurt you, but your response can heal you. Seasons may knock you down, but your response will pick you back up. People may cause you offense, but your response will bring forgiveness. A season may break you, but your response can make you. It's your response that is going to give you authority. It's your response that is going to bring you out with growth. It's your response. There is more power in your reaction than there is in anyone else's action. How are you and I responding to that relationship, to that season, to that manager, to that person? How are we responding? I think about Jesus. When he was led into the wilderness, I have no clue what that was. We'll look at Jesus' response when he was led in. As long as the lights don't fall on me, I'm pretty cool. I look at Jesus' response in the wilderness when the enemy came and tempted him. You see, Jesus responded spiritually. Jesus responded with the word of God. Jesus responded with focus. Jesus was fixed on his mission and his purpose. And what I love about that scripture, it says that the enemy left him until an opportune time. You notice he never came back. Because there was no opportune time. Because Jesus' response dictated the enemy's authority. And when he responded right, the enemy had to leave. But even the Bible says that sin is crouching at your door. Why is it crouching at your door? Because he can't get in your house unless you allow him in. You see, your response is what dictates your leadership. Your response is what dictates your breakthrough. It's your response, it's not your season. Take your eyes off the season and look at your response to what is taking place. The enemy only remains when he gets the response he wants. It's like gossip. I won't expand on that one. It only remains when you allow it to remain. You see, Paul knew that his season was temporary. Paul knew that his season was for a moment, but his response was what was going to bear fruit eternally. And I want to ask us today, how do we respond to the calling of God upon our lives? You see, it brings us back to the picture that Paul painted, that God's glory is manifested in something that can be so simple and so straightforward. People will look at your season that you have come through and know that it could only be God. People will look at the change that has taken place in your life and know that it could only be God. But you will open your mouth and declare wisdom and prophecy, and people will know that it could only be God. Some of us will close our mouth and people will know it could only be God. But whatever God takes us through, we're going to know it could only be God. You know, last Monday, many of you may have seen it, but my wife graduated university. And I was a very proud, I was going to say bunny, but I'm not going to describe myself like that. I was a very proud man. And she walked up there, and to many people there, she was another name that got called out. But I sat there and I knew that it was only by the grace of God that she was up there. And I'll tell you why. Not only because it was 25 years since she last took an exam or went into education. 25 years later, she's graduating with a degree. But not only that, but my wife never took a step back while she did it. She never stopped being a mother and a wife. She never stopped being a servant and an encourager. She never stopped that. You see, grace doesn't mean you swap or replace things. Grace means he gives you additional strength to go through it. It's like when you get married. You don't get married and it replaces your ministry. You get married and it adds to your ministry. You continue to serve. You continue to give. We have to continue to add to our lives. That is the grace of God. He adds to our life. David Bowie said it like this. I've always got random people, but sometimes random people do good quotes. He said this: if you feel safe in the area you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little further into the water than you feel you're capable of being in. Go a little bit out of your depth. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting. I love that. But when you feel like your feet aren't touching the bottom, now listen, I'm not saying that life should be all crazy every day, like, oh, am I going to keep my house, aren't I? It's like, it's not that. But it's this mentality that there should be stability and there should be security, but there should be excitement. There should be faith. There should be hope. There should be something that's calling you to go a bit deeper, to go a bit further. See, how many of you have ever been asked that question, what are you called to do? One of the most annoying questions I've ever been asked. What are you called to do? Where are you called to go? And I understand that each one of us have a specific, unique purpose. Each one of us has a certain calling from God of where we're called to serve and to give our lives as an offering. But you know that's not the first and foremost reason why God called us. Do you want me to when I say this is going to be a bit deep. This is going to be a little bit fresh for some of us, maybe. It was for me when I read it. But our first and foremost responsibility is not we're called to do. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says this: you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You see, our first port of call is that we have to learn to live with freedom, because you can be a pastor and be bound. You can be a worship leader and be struggling. You can be a businessman and be bound. You can be a manager and not be free. But when you learn to live free, when you learn that it's for freedom that Christ set you free, then you begin to apply those areas to your life and you live with freedom, whether you're a pastor, a worship leader, a husband, a wife, a businessman, whatever it may be, there's no point in being any of those things if you're not free. We need to have a response of a free person. See, if you can't be free poor, you're not going to be free rich. If you can't be free off the pulpit, you're not going to be free on it. If you can't be free without people's approval, you'll never be free with it. Freedom comes from our relationship with Christ, and we respond with freedom. We respond without limitation. When God's calling comes upon your life, a free person will lift their hands and say, Lord, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I don't know if I'm able, but Lord, it's your glory. It's your power. It's your truth that is going to bring change and transformation. Our responsibility is very simple, to give out what God has put in, to live a life poured out. But many times we respond not based on that, but we respond based on how we see ourselves. How many of us have ever said, if only I knew more, if only I had more, if only I had more support? And we say all of these things, but yet God isn't looking for those things. God's looking for your availability. God's looking for the willingness. God's looking for someone that is going to respond and say, God, I'm here. So my question this morning is, what happens when we change our response? When we change our response, we break patterns. That's ultimately what happens. When we change our response, we break patterns. I want to finish with this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. Moses was stood before the promised land with a nation of Israel. And they're about to step into their destiny, about to step into their promise. And Moses speaks to them, and he says this, this day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. After all of this journey of Moses' life, his victories and his setbacks, of seeing people make it and seeing people fall short, Moses brought it down to one thing. It's your response. It's your choice. You see, many of us face sickness. It's our choice. Many of us face opposition. It's our choice. Many of us face these things, but it's our response that determines where we end up and how we get there. You see, this speech from Moses meant many things to many people right there on the edge of their promise. To some of them, it meant that they were going to have peace for the first time. For some of them, it meant opportunity. For some of them, it might have meant rest. For some of them, it might have meant a better life for their children. But whatever it meant, Moses said, it's your choice. It's your response. And when you look at this book of Deuteronomy, you see that there were many different people listening to Moses' voice. There was the old and there was the young. There was the widow, there was the orphan, there was the alien, there was the poor. There were so many different people. And yet Moses' promise was not for just some of them, it was for all of them. And he literally saying, if you can hear my voice, God has not finished. If you can hear my voice, God is bringing you into a new season. If you can hear my voice, God is able. His declaration was that the promise is for all of us. And the only difference is not your ability. It's not your talent. It's not if you've been saved 20 years or 2 days. The difference is how you respond to the seasons and times of your life. And I declare it to those that are listening online. If you can hear my voice, that God has not finished, that God is still working and moving. But this morning, we have to choose our response. I want you to stand with me this morning. You see, I believe for many of us, we have been faced with different things. We're going through different seasons. And yet today, it's our response that is the difference between being a victim and a victor. It's our response that enables us to become the people that God has called us to be. And today we're going to take full authority over every season that we've been going through. If it's success, we're going to give glory to God. If it's setback, we're going to give glory to God. If it's a relationship, we're going to give glory to God, because whatever it is that's taking place, there is power in your response. I want us to lift our hands across this place. I want us just to begin to worship him. From the front to the back, all across this place, I want us to begin to worship him. As a worship team leaders, let's lift our voices. Let's lift our hearts to him today.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.